We're doing Maaseh Shimshon. We're up to the conclusion of Chelek Tet, where the Timni tells her, tells the Philistines, I'll do it. And the Philistines tell her, Asot ha'sigam yachol tuchali, you will succeed. And we discussed where the term yachol tuchal appears. Remember in King Saul's speech to David when he comes out of the cave. And now we're up to the final sentence, the final paragraph from the Timnit to the Philistines, Im uchal ho'il hein lo echdala. If I will be able to succeed, I will not cease to try. Hine lamoed od hayamim rabu. There are still many days till the final day when you have to give an answer to the riddle. Im lo hayom machar, if I don't succeed today, perhaps tomorrow. Im machar ayin bashlishit ulai. If not tomorrow, then perhaps on the third day. Lo yimna mimeni, ultimately, he will not withhold the secret from me. Ata lechu ad ki hayom yagia. You go now, till the day comes, the conclusion of the 7 days. Ki yagid li, for ultimately he will tell me. Va alechem odia, and I will let you know. So, we conclude the discussion between the Philistines and the Timnit, and we're left with a quandary where Ramchal seems to present her as being in a bind. He seems to present her as a pitiful woman who's stuck. What's she supposed to do? They're going to burn her father and his family down, and all she has to do is make her husband lose a few shekels in order to save her father's family. So let's analyze the words that Ramchal put in the mouth of the Timnit. Im uchal ho'il. Now that's a word. The word ho'il shows up a few times in Tanakh. And we could even open up some examples and see where the word ho'il appears in Tanakh. There's a phenomenal idea that can be noticed if we look through Tanakh where the word ho'il appears. So let's take one example. We'll take two or three examples and we'll see if you guys see what I noticed. Let's open to Yeshaya, Isaiah, what's called the 44th chapter. Okay, Yeshaya Mem Daled. Mem Daled, yes. I'll start reading and translating quickly. This is... let's start with the sixth verse, just because that's really where the prophecy begins, this section. And God is saying, why go after idols? I run the world. The sixth verse, Ko'amar Hashem Melech Yisrael v'goalo, so says Hashem, King of Israel and His Redeemer. Hashem Tzvakot, Hashem who controls armies, Ani Rishon v'ani Acharon. I was the first, I am the last, Umi Baladai en Elokim. And there's no forces but me. Umi Chamoni Yikravi Yagdevi Archeali, Misumi Amolam V'otiyot V'ashotavoni Yagidu Lamo. Who can tell you like I can tell you? Who could forecast the future the way I can? Al Tifchadu V'al Tirhu, Halo Me'az Yishmaticha V'igadti, V'atem Eidai. Don't be scared, because I've always foretold. I am the one who sent prophets who told the truth, and you are my witnesses, says God. Hayesh Elohim Baladai, is there any God but me? Has anyone else sent prophets who are accurate like mine? Ventzu Baliadati, and there's no other rock other than me. There's no one else for you to rely on. Yotzeifes El Kulam Tohu, Bachamudehem Bal Yoilu. Those who form idols, they're vain, they're nothing, they're hopeless. Vedehim Hema, and they themselves will bear testimony on the idols they form. Bal Yiru Val Yedu Leman Yevoshu. They know, the ones who form the idols, that the idols don't see, they don't know, and ultimately there's room to be embarrassed from that kind of job you're making idols. Miyatzar Elu Fesel Nasach Levilti Ho'il. That's the word we're looking for. Who is it that forms a god? Who is it that melts an idol? He makes a molten idol, levilti ho'il. Ultimately, that idol will not bear any benefit. So where do we find the word ho'il? In describing an idol, levilti ho'il. It won't be of any help. Okay, let's take the next.
What is
ho'il means to have benefit. Let's go to Jeremiah, what they call the seventh chapter. Yirmiyahu Zion. Again, that's the second time we're going to encounter the word ho'il. And again, the Navi speaks to them about their tendency to look at idols. And the Navi says, stop persecuting the ger, the convert. Stop persecuting the orphan, the widow. Stop murdering. Stop going after pagan gods. And then I will let you have a permanent residence in the land of Israel, the land that I promised your forefathers. And the sole reason that you allow yourselves to do these hideous crimes, says the Navi in Pasuk Chet, Hine atem botchim lachem al divrei ha-shaker. You take comfort in the prophecies of the false prophets who prophesize and tell you everything's going to be okay, you can continue your ways. Levilti ho'il. Nothing good will come of it. You'll have no benefit from it. The word ho'il again appears as it will not have any benefit. And that's how we find as we go through Tanakh, we go to Habakkuk, and the Navi again says, the idol has no benefit. So the word ho'il throughout Tanakh is referenced, there will be no benefit.
Specifically when it's going against God.
Right. Specifically when it's going against God. And so the Ramchal takes a word that doesn't appear in Tanakh. Whenever you have ho'il, it's with a descriptor. You have lo ho'il, levilti ho'il. Or in Habakkuk, ma ho'il. What benefit is there from the idol? So it's interesting. I don't know if Ramchal meant to allude to that. That she's saying, if I'll be able to, I will be ho'il. Something that no one was in Tanakh. Throughout Tanakh, every time it says ho'il, it says not ho'il. Let's see. Hein lo echdela. Hein lo echdala. I will not cease. So first of all, on a simple level, we have to know that this is part of the repertoire of woman's tools to convince her husband. She asks the same question again, and maybe you changed your mind. Maybe really we should go to that wedding. Women will ask you again and again and again. It reaches a point where you tell yourself, is it worth arguing? No, I'd rather go. I'll take a simple example. Your wife says, maybe we should go out on a date this Tuesday. So you're sitting down, you're trying to constrain what you're doing, and you say, Tuesday doesn't really work, maybe next week. So then she sits down to have a conversation about it, and you see this is going to take 2 hours, this conversation. I might as well go on that date Tuesday, forget it, I don't have the 2 hours now to argue the no. Very often women will do this, they'll come back again, and again, and again, and...
Could you just say, let me surprise you sometime this week?
Good luck. So, on the simple level, what she's saying is, I won't cease. Don't worry. I'll get what I want out of Shimshon because I'll keep asking. Now, don't get annoyed when your wives do this. You see, this is a part of human nature. But the word echdal appears in Tanakh in a very specific context. The word echdal or chadal appears when you have a brother turning on a brother. If we look at the war Shimshon against the Philistines, if you look at the civil war of the tribes against the tribe of Benjamin, the word chadal, Shimshon says after he discovers that they stole his riddle, they had his wife betray his riddle. He says, I will go against you. And then he hears that they came to punish. When the Philistines hear that Samson's wife revealed the secret, so they come and burn down her and her father's house. And Samson says, you do that? Oh boy, now I'll take revenge and I won't. And only afterwards I will cease. Only afterwards, echdal. So here he married into the Philistines, and then when he turns against them, he says, I'll take revenge, and then echdal, and then I'll stop. The word chadal appears where the brothers go out, the 10 tribes go out against the tribe of Benjamin, the 11 tribes, and they ask God, should we continue fighting Benjamin? Ime chadal, or should we cease? The root chadal always appears in Tanakh around the question, should I continue fighting my brother? The king of Israel goes to war against the king of Judea, and he asks the prophet, tell me. He gathers 400 false prophets and says, should I continue going to war against my brothers in the tribe of Judea? Ime chadal, should I cease? So the word chadal, the root chadal, always appears around the question, should I stop turning against my brother? Should I stop fighting my relative? And now Samson's wife says, I will badger him. Lo echdal, I will not stop. I will continue until I get the secret out of him. So again, this is genius, that Ramchal takes a root that appears in Tanakh four or five times, and every time it appears, it's around one concept. One who turns against his brother. Or in this case, Samson's wife turns against him. Yes?
Even in the army, when you're at the firing range, and you're firing, the sign for stopping for any reason is chadav.
Yeah? You're fair? Okay, so now we continue. We're up to the 10th section. The Timnis is going to speak to her tools. Remember, Ramchal personified. He gave representation for mirma, deceit, and cheshek, desire. So we have two angels. One is called deceit, and another one is called desire. And the Timnit is going to look for help. How am I going to seduce Samson? How am I going to get the information out of him? So we'll do as we've done before. We'll read through her speech, and then we'll analyze the words. Miyakum niven mereim eile. Who among all these friends? And the word mereim has dual meaning. If the root is rea, so rea is a friend. If the root is meria, then that is one who does bad, who does evil. The question is, what's the root? Is it mereim, those who inflict harm? Or is it reim, the friends? So she says, who will arise for me among all these friends? Mi yachzik yadi v'yazreini, who will hold my hand and help me? Mi yarov libo elai lageshet, who will sit in ambush over Samson's heart? So he approaches me, mi misgirei levav ishi aniach divrei chidato, to take out of the locks of his heart the riddle that he has, asher bam nichlau, he's locked it into his heart. Hinei libi tasov imav afachad, my heart is surrounded with trepidation and fear. Uchiyam nigrash, ashket lo yuchal sela. My heart is like the sea as it keeps getting excited, the sea with its waves that are turbulent. My heart knows no silence. Pen macholet ish beiti yasimu, lest they make my house consumed by fire. Now here we already see a big problem. She calls her father's house beiti, my house. Oh, so last night we had our class on the Jewish home, and we discussed that there's a continuous loyalty that a woman has to her father's house. This is a concept that we have to be prepared for. Ordinarily, men are very frustrated by it, because the male tendency is to become very loyal to his wife very quickly. A man undergoes the stages the Torah describes, al ken ya'azov ish aviv et imo. Man leaves his father and mother's house, v'davak be'ishto, and he connects to his wife. And man ordinarily is very prepared to be very loyal to his wife very quickly. Whereas a woman maintains a certain loyalty to her father's house throughout the marriage, throughout her life, assuming things are normal there, meaning in a normal situation. So here, the fact that she calls her father's house Beiti could be understood. The flip side of it is, there's a question here that really we've been avoiding. It's a little bit a sensitive question, but we have to tackle it at one point or another. She converted. What type of relationship should a person who converted have with her father's house, with the country she left? We used to have a student here, I don't remember, I think he came from Greece, came from one of the countries in Europe, and he, whenever there'd be a soccer game, he was rooting for his home country. Now, he converted, but he was still rooting for that country. So guys, he were very upset. Why is he rooting for that country against Israel? And I figured, big deal, you know. He feels an affinity to that team. Now, the Torah tells us that there's a natural affinity that a convert has for the people he came from, and that's why we have a special warning to be sensitive and not speak badly about people in front of a convert from those people, or not speak badly about non-Jews next to a convert, because it's hard for a convert to hear, even though technically he converted. But still, it's natural that there's a certain element of affinity that's still there. So Chazal warned us to be careful, to be considerate, and not to hurt a person that way. And yet there's a question, where do you draw the line? Meaning a person is supposed to develop a new family, a new home, new relationships. So that's a tough question, which I think Ramchal is addressing behind the scenes over here. Between the lines, Ramchal is alluding to this when she refers to her father's house as her home. And when Ramchal is taking so much time to describe that challenge that she has between being loyal to Shimshon and being loyal to her people and the family she came from, I think Ramchal is purposely pointing out to us a challenge that a person would have. It's one of the questions that anti-Semites always raised about the Jews. How loyal are you to the country you've moved to? And Jews always felt, I have to be loyal to my people. And you have in the State Department, you have rules about how far Jews can go within the secrets of the State Department, because there's always that question, aren't they more loyal to Israel? It's a good question. Yeah.
I mean, I can understand, like, changing your allegiance to, like, you know, the new home that you're making your wife is one thing. But changing your allegiance to a sports team? That seems like, that's way, way more difficult.
More difficult. Avanti. Okay, say that. Yes.
She remained in the same house.
Why?
She lived in that house.
Why do you think?
With Shimshon in Judea.
It doesn't say. I don't know. Meaning they got married. I assume he intended to bring her home. I assume he intended to live somewhere else. You're saying because the Navi doesn't describe him building a home, they were going to live in her father's house. I never thought that way.
They
were there for Sheva Brachos.
And for the woman converted, it's more hard than a man, because as you say, a man just leave the house and move.
She married Shimshon, you know.
I don't know.
Let's look at the psukim.
Normally, a woman is more connected with the father house than is more connected with the land. But it's not the case with Ruth.
I hear. I'm just looking to see if there's any indication in the pasuk. See, he made a party there. That's very interesting. I didn't notice that. Now, Jewish custom is that Sheva Brachos really happens in the Chatan's home. He's supposed to bring her home and make Sheva Brachos in his home. And the pasuk over here seems to say he made Sheva Brachos over there in Philistine territory. So that's a very good point.
Also, the son of Elimelech made the party in Moab.
Where did he make a party when he got married? Which son of Elimelech? I'm saying, where do you find that he got married?
Not Elimelech, the son of Elimelech.
You're talking about Elimelech. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So they made party there. It doesn't move. They remained there.
They moved there. I'm saying they lived there.
Worse, but that was the history.
Tov, it's a very interesting point. It certainly sounds like he set up shop over there. And you see, when he left them, he went back to his father's house. We don't see at this point that he has his own home. I never noticed that. That's a very good point.
You're saying it's not like necessarily that like she didn't have allegiance to Shimshon. It's more that she had allegiance to everybody else.
That too. And it's a dual allegiance. And in fact, her claim is reasonable. Ramchal makes her out to be very reasonable. What's she supposed to do? For a few pesos, she's supposed to give up on her father's life? Saying, but let's see how... which words Ramchal chose to put in her mouth. Yeah.
But all of the words that Ramchal is using is of somebody that specifically is doing something that's not out of faith to God. In other words...
Let's see, right. Right.
In other words, so if she converted, it seems like she converted for Samson and not for out of belief.
Okay. So now, you brought me something I was going to wait on, but... Did you guys hear what he said?
Yeah.
Nachum said something very nice. I want to quote a Rambam. I was going to put that off for later, but okay, let's... The Rambam, when he speaks about conversion, and the Rambam writes in the 13th chapter, he's speaking about a person who we may marry, who we may not marry, and in the 14th halacha he says the following: Al ya'ale al da'atcha, don't entertain the thought, Sheshimshon ha-Moshiach Yisrael, that Samson who rescued Israel, O Shlomo Melech Yisrael, or Solomon, the king of Israel, Shenikra Yedid Hashem. Solomon was called the friend, the beloved one of God. Nasu Nashim Nochiyot Begayutan. That they married women who were not Jewish and remained not Jewish. Ela Soda Davar Kahu. The Rambam calls it the secret. He says the secret behind what happened here is as follows. Shamitzva nechona, the correct way of doing things is kshevagero agiot litgayer, when someone comes to convert, bodkin acharav, we do some research, we check. Shema biglal mamon sheyitol, maybe he's converting because he stands to benefit money from, monetarily from it. O bishvil srara sheyizkela, or maybe through converting he will get a political position. O mipnei apachat, or maybe he's scared. You know, Mordechai is now the ruler in Persia, so it's worthwhile to become Jewish, and maybe that's why Bali Kanes Ladat, maybe that's why he's coming to convert. V'imishu, and if he's a man, Bodkin Achav Shemein Av Natan Bisha Yudit, we check. Maybe the sole reason he wants to convert is because he wants to marry a Jewish woman. V'imishai, and if she's a woman, Bodkin Shemein Av Natan Bebachum Bacho Yisrael. So we say, hey, maybe she's crazy about a guy. Im lo nimtza le'mila. What?
Is that not allowed?
He didn't say that. But let's see. If we don't know of any such reason, modin otan kovedol la'Torah v'torach sheyesh ba'asiyata la'mei ha'aretzot kedei she'yifroshu. We first let them know how difficult it is to be a Jew, so that they will leave of their own accord once they hear how difficult it is. Im kiblu v'lo pirshu. But if they say, yeah, I'm willing to do that, they don't leave. V'ra'u otan shechazru me'ava. And we see that they love the ideas of Judaism, and that's why they're interested. Mekablin otan, we accept them. Shneimar, as the verse says, "Vaterikim itametzti lechtita v'tichdal daber eila." Naomi saw that Ruth was insistent on going with her, so she ceased to talk to her. Lefichach, that's why lo kiblu betin gerin kol mei David v'Shlomo. We didn't accept converts during the period of King David or King Solomon. In the days of David, we were concerned. Maybe they were doing it out of fear. David was this powerful king. In the days of Solomon, the Jewish economy was the top economy in the world. So we were concerned people were doing it for economic reasons. Because if someone converts for something external, like money, etc., Eino migere atzedek. The Rambam doesn't say his conversion isn't kosher. He says that's not called a ger tzedek. That's not a righteous ger. And nonetheless, in the days of David and Solomon, there were many conversions. People who converted in front of a simple court. And the high court didn't take a stance. On the one hand, they didn't tell them, get out of here, you're not Jewish. On the other hand, they didn't say, oh, you're Jewish, let's do everything on your behalf. Because the high court said, I'm not really sure where they're holding. And Solomon converted women and married them. And Samson converted the women and married them. And everyone knows that these women didn't convert because they believed in Judaism. They converted because they wanted to marry Solomon or Samson. And the courts didn't really approve of such a conversion. And that's why the verse considers it as though Samson and Solomon married women who were not Jewish. And ultimately, the end of each story proves what happened in the beginning, because ultimately they continued worshiping their idols. They erected altars on behalf of those idols. They offered sacrifice to the idols. And that's why the verse describes it as though Solomon worshipped foreign gods, because he really brought this woman, the daughter of Pharaoh, into Judaism, where the courts didn't approve of the idea. So, this is the question you asked. Wait a second. Did she convert? Didn't she convert? What were her intentions? So the Rambam says she converted, but her intentions were just to marry Samson.
It seems like the Ramchal backs
that up. I don't know what the Ramchal holds here. Because the Ramchal seems to put her in a bind. The Ramchal went out of his way to show us how much difficulty she had. And the Ramchal makes her be much more pious than I would have thought she was. So we're going to have to pick up here, Bezat Shem, next week. Yeah.